Would you stand with me, please? Thank you for being here tonight. If you would turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And then Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verse number 14. Says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Now, many times we quote the holiness, but we forget about the peace. And then Romans, the 12th chapter. And verse number 18. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." So we're going to talk a little bit about peace tonight. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We ask, God, that you'd touch and anoint and bless your word, God, that it would have the same power as it did when it was written. When it was anointed, let it have that same life here tonight. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've said this before. As I was putting this message together, God brought some things to my attention today. There's really only two messages that are preached in the church. One is how to get saved. The other is how to stay saved. And there's probably a whole lot more messages on how to stay saved than there is to get saved. In fact, we have one book that tells us how to get saved, and all of the others are epistles that tell us how to stay saved and act as Christians. At the end of the preaching, there will be a test to determine which preaching it really was, so try to keep awake. This is going to be a short message. I remember a phone call I got a few years ago. "Sister Dorflinger, how long have you been married?" 18 years. It was 18 years ago that I got a phone call. And it wasn't from Brother or Sister Dorflinger. I can still remember the tone of the person who made the telephone call. It was from a lady at the Racine Register of Deeds. It didn't take long to figure out that she was very unhappy with me. I've never met the lady. We've never had a conversation before, but I could tell based on her tone that, you know, she wasn't very happy with me. She knew I was a pastor, and I thought maybe that would cut me some slack. You know, sometimes that does, but it seems like the clergy doesn't demand or get the respect that used to back in the day. But with this authoritative voice, she said, "Reverend, you didn't indicate on the marriage certificate that you mailed us the date, the county, or the city where the marriage was performed." Now, I may have done some wrong things in my life, but I felt like the SWAT team was about to be released, and they were going to come and take me away. I thought at least she probably would have said, "You're going to have to do this whole thing over. We're going to have to bring all of these people back, and Brother and Sister Dorflinger, you're going to have to get married again because this lady didn't like what you did." And I thought to myself, aren't there any real problems that she could be addressing, like world hunger or save a whale someplace, you know? But I must have been praying that morning. You know, it had to be that I was praying that morning because I said, "I am so very sorry to inconvenience you. And I can give you that information right over the phone, or if you would like, I could come down and I could give you that information, and I'll try to do better in the future. I really will." And thanks to that brilliant, profound, and anointed response, I single-handedly prevented World War III in Racine. And her attitude instantly changed. I didn't mean to come on so strong, you know. And, you know, it transformed her. Just the response just transformed her into a different person altogether, you know. Maybe she was having a bad day, or maybe she had a bad husband, you know. I don't know what the situation was, but I was the recipient of what was going on in her life, and you have to consider the source sometimes. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Yes. Sometimes it's just so hard for me to have a soft answer. There would have been a time that I would have given this woman a piece of my mind and had less mind than I actually have right now. But I am now on heavy medication, quite a bit, especially today, several large doses of the Holy Ghost. And it has a serious effect on me, and I'm really not myself. In fact, I'm pretty sure that I'll never be myself again. And I hope most of us will never be ourselves again, and I hope you're over-medicated tonight to the degree that you don't respond like the flesh wants you to respond, you see. So let me ask you, have you been your old self lately? You know, easily irritated, complaining, finding fault with somebody else. How many know what this message is really? Is it number one or is it number two? You know? Well, if you've been your old self, maybe you need a new prescription, and we're going to be opening the pharmacy later. So you can come down and get a special Jesus pill. My old self didn't have the same compassion and empathy for others' feelings. It just didn't seem to be important to have the proper protocol in a proper manner. But once I got the Jesus pill, I seemed to feel everyone's hurt and everybody's feeling. I was sensitive to the feelings of people that were around me, just like Jesus is sensitive to our feelings. I'm so grateful that when I've done things wrong, that he didn't expose it to the rest of the world, but said, "Could you come here a minute? I want to talk to you in the prayer room." So gracious, so concerned about my feelings. And I found that I couldn't be agitated by others' bad manners after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God has given me a peace that seems to control my emotions. And you know, when people get the Holy Ghost, it just transforms them immediately to a different person. There's a peace that passes understanding that we can't get by counseling. We can't get it any other way but a fresh touch of God in our life. And those things that used to excite us so much, they don't excite us anymore. So would you turn to John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he gives us peace, not like the world gives us peace. You know, we can have confidence in ourselves or the ability that we have or even in our bank account or our personal appearance. But you know what? That never brings peace like God's peace. And then if you'll turn to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Colossians 3 and verse number 15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts or your feelings. You know, I can't get agitated. I can't get upset with somebody because the peace of God has constrained me, is ruling me, and it has changed me. John 16. And verse number 3, Jesus said, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father. Amen. And then Philippians, the 4th chapter. Very familiar scripture. Philippians 4, starting in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So, we're thanking God, and then we're bringing our requests to God in worship, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, your thoughts and your feelings. And so it's a result of being thankful unto God and worshiping God, and maybe perhaps bringing your feelings into control. How do you know when your medication is wearing off? Well, here's another test. Put your pencils down. You know, every test that God gives us is always an open book test. And my suggestion is keep the book open all the time. I've got this problem, so let's go to the book and find the answer. They're always in here. Here they are. Number one, the little things start to irritate you. Are you grading yourself? Number two, it's hard to be nice even to normal people. Number three, the peace is gone even when everything else is going right. Why am I agitated? Everything's going well with me. You know, I think I need another dose of the Holy Ghost. I got to get into the presence of God. And then you know it's time for another dose. You got to get to God. I got to get to God. I need help. Take a look at Jude. There's only one chapter, of course. Jude, verse number 20. It says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse number 20, I went to 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. You see, keeping ourselves in the love of God or praying in the Holy Ghost causes us to have compassion for other people. You can look at the circumstances and say, I'm not going to cut them slack. I'm not going to have mercy. I'm not going to have compassion. But when we're in love with Jesus, it seems like we extend mercy to other people, and we're not so quick to judge or be irritated by others. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able, he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So by doing this, it prevents us from falling and keeps us faultless before his presence. You see, the Holy Ghost not only gives us peace, it not only gives us power to resist some of the temptations within our lives, but it causes us to have compassion on those in and those out of the church. The word peace is used 400 times in the Bible. Baptism is only used 22 times. Peace, 400 times. The first thing that Jesus said to his disciples when he had been resurrected was, peace be unto you. Why? Because we're fearful people. We get agitated. We get worked up about all kinds of things. We desperately need the peace of God to rest upon each of us. It is defined in the Greek as an absence of war or hostility, freedom from quarrels or disagreement. And a life full of disagreement and quarrels and agitation is not a life at all. Somehow God has got to give us a timeout and some peace within our lives. And when we walk into his presence, he does give us almost a euphoria of, okay, it doesn't matter anyway, you see. Why is peace so important in the church? Because we can't do God's business without peace. If we don't have peace in our lives, we're not going to respond to somebody who needs the gospel. We're not able to respond to some needs within the church to minister to somebody else. We're not in a position where we could teach a Bible study. We're not in a position where we could have a ministry within the church if we're agitated and we don't have the peace of God in our lives. Take a look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter, please. I'm not preaching long. I feel this is an important subject, though. We've got too many Pentecostals who are agitated, too many Pentecostals that don't have the peace of God that they really should have. Amen. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse number 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness. How do we walk? With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering. What? Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. How? In the bonds of peace. If you see a situation, how can I bring peace to that situation rather than take a side in that situation? So we have all of this, how can we walk worthy of our vocation in lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity, which is so vital for the anointing presence of God in the bonds of peace. And then the scriptures that we camp on. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. You notice we're using the word one or unity within here. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all. So we find that it's so important in order to have peace within our lives. And the Bible even talks about how you need to make things right with each other in order to have the blessings of God in your life. You see, the devil wants to strip us of our unity, which in turn takes our peace. Division within a household. Nothing could be worse. Nothing could be worse. Because a divided house will fall. A divided church will fall. A divided ministry will fall, you see. When little division comes to the church, no matter how little they may seem, it stops the move of God. It stops the propagation of the gospel. It stops ministries. And the main purpose for the ministry, all ministries as a matter of fact, is to keep a good relationship with God so we can minister to the flock. So if I don't have a good relationship with God, how in the world can I minister to the people of God? And the main purpose of the saint is to keep a good conscience towards God in order to minister to people who aren't in the church. You see, if you don't have a good relationship with God, there's no way that you're going to invite somebody to church or tell them about the goodness of God, because you don't experience the peace and the goodness of God in your own life. People aren't attracted to somebody who is not attracted to God. You know, if you're not excited about living for God, how in the world would somebody else ever get excited about living for God? Luke 19, or 6 and 19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. We're talking about Jesus. For there went out virtue from him and healed them all. And so everybody wanted to touch Jesus because there was a power that came from him, and we are the body of Jesus. There needs to be a power and a peace that emanates from us, and when that happens, well, we become the church that God wants us to be. Virtue has something to do with the miracle. And unity brings the virtue of God and the peace of God. And that word virtue means miraculous power. Turn to Daniel, if you will, the 7th chapter. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. It says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until a time and times and the dividing of time." We're talking about the end times when the tactics of the enemy is going to be to wear out the saints. I am so exhausted, I can't get the church, I have to rest. I have to divide my time through many other priorities within my life to the point where we change the laws, we change our priorities. We're living in a time when the enemy wants to wear us out and change the times of church and change the laws of God and divide us into little segments, if you will. But we won't see the miraculous without a great love for the person who is sitting next to you and the person who's sitting on the other side of the church. Because God said when they were all in one accord in one place, then there was a mighty rushing wind. The same is true today. We can't circumvent what God ordained in the very beginning. We can't say we're all individuals. We all love God, but we don't love each other, you see. And then what happens is we forfeit the peace of God that we need to have. Glory to God. So my advice to you tonight is to stay on your medication. And if you've been off your medication, you need a heavy dose of this medication. And always take your medication with food. It's not just enough to get the Spirit of God, but you have to get the Spirit and the Word. And if you are consistent in taking your medication every day with the proper food, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about, you just won't be yourself anymore. I don't want to be myself anymore. I want to be the person that God wants me to be. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah, the pharmacy is open. Would you stand with me, please? Paul said this. He said, I beat under my body daily. I have to beat it into subjection because I fear, even though I preach to many, I myself might become a castaway. So what he was saying is, I've got trouble with this flesh all of the time, and I don't want to be myself. I want to be the person that God wants me to be. And I have to be so careful, especially as a pastor. If I should say something to somebody out of character or out of my emotions, I somehow, well, could cause somebody to fall and lose their own salvation. And so we have to be careful. We really do. And God is in charge of this church. Hallelujah. Let him be in charge of us individually, that we can be the church that he really wants us to be. Amen? Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?